Many years back during my residency training, on my first overnight as a senior admitting resident, I got a call from an emergency physician at a tiny rural hospital. Her patient had pulmonary emboli, blood clots to the arteries of the lungs, and she proposed to transfer the patient to our hospital, where closer monitoring would be available. When the patient arrived, I hurried to her bedside, for pulmonary emboli kill as many as 100,000 people each year in the United States. She asked, in fact, if she might die. It occurred to me that she might, but I sought to reassure her, explaining that she was not only stabilizing, but already receiving treatment. As I gestured to the treatment she was getting, I looked at the bag of heparin hanging at her bedside. I was thinking that I should recheck the rate of the drip to make sure the emergency physician had chosen the correct dose. But there was no pump attached to the IV. In fact, the bag of heparin was empty. With horror, I recognized a life-threatening medical error. A bag of intravenous heparin had been hung earlier at the rural hospital before transfer. The doctor who ordered the heparin meant for the contents to infuse slowly, by pump to control the drip rate, over about 28 hours. Instead, the entire bag had been infused into the patient all at once, by gravity, over a few minutes. The ambulance crew had transported the patient with an IV pump. At the first hospital, to avoid the need to return, the ambulance crew had substituted a pump that belonged to their company. When they got to us, they simply unhooked the pump and took it with them, without taking time for our nurses to switch to a different pump. Our patient, who had just suffered blood clots to the lungs, suddenly faced a profound risk of bleeding. I asked the patient not to get out of bed, to eliminate her risk of falling, and I informed her nurses. I then rushed to order the antidote, a medication called protamine. That we might need it someday had been drilled into us as medical students, but I had never seen it used. Quickly, I phoned the pharmacist for help. The pharmacist that night was just like me, recently out of school, and just like me, it was her first overnight, and she, too, had never seen protamine used. Awed, if not frightened, by the responsibility we shared, we independently calculated the dose of the antidote and then took a minute to compare our results. Too much and the patient would be back at a risk of more blood clots. Too little and she would remain at a risk of bleeding. The pharmacist quickly delivered the protamine, and the nurses immediately gave it. We informed our supervisors of the situation. By morning, we learned that we had chosen just the right dose. The patient remained stable and also therapeutically anticoagulated, without a risk of further clotting. And remembering that night, so many lessons learned. But I'd like to focus for a minute on the question of the medical error, as well as how thinking about it shaped my consciousness. Events like this near miss deserve careful review. As one of the world's experts in healthcare quality, Dr. Gordy Schiff, points out, these experiences should be treated like treasure. Careful study of a problem can allow us to unearth its roots and in turn build systems that will save lives. The ambulance crew members were good people with a sincere desire to serve the community. Of course, they swore never to make the same mistake again. Yet fixing blame will ultimately not fix errors. When we discussed a team-building system fix, the director of nursing pointed out that in a fundamental way, the ambulance crew was not quite part of our team. The ambulance was run by a for-profit company with a corporate headquarters thousands of miles away. Naturally, the goal of the company was to get the crew to transport as many patients as possible across our landscape. That night, I later learned, the crew was racing off to another patient waiting at another hospital. The paramedics were working amid a speed-up, like just about everyone else in our country. These days, just about any aspect of healthcare delivery can be subcontracted out or made into a business. Local healthcare businesses are increasingly on the tendrils of giant international conglomerates. In fact, the corporation that owned the rural ambulance in this essay was recently bought out by a global private equity firm. A local ambulance crew should serve the needs of the local community, not private equity investors. For the sake of patient safety, we should work to remove profiteering from the care of the sick. A public single-payer system would be a giant step in the right direction. Most of all, it would be the beginning of a system in which health priorities were set by the people, by patients and their caregivers, something every modern democracy should have.